A study published in the journal Health Affairs this week shows a decline in life expectancy for American women. What exactly is causing this alarming trend? Or understanding what's causing this alarming trend could be a long way off, as scientists are perplexed by the findings. And the need for more data is further complicated by an apparent history of gender imbalance in medical research. With us to sort through some of this is Dr. Carmen Green. She's a professor of medicine at the University of Michigan and was recently named the Associate Vice President for Health Equity and Inclusion for the University of Michigan Health System. Dr. Green, welcome to Current State.
Good morning. Thank you.
Can you speak to this recent study from Health Affairs? What kind of information does this give us?
Well, I think these findings are very disturbing. When you think about the amount that we spend on health care in this country, and where we've always had an increase longevity amongst women as compared to men, and now we're seeing a decrease in the life course of women. So that's really problematic and really a public health and a health policy concern.
Clinically, can you go any deeper? Do we know the particular diseases or problems that are part of this earlier mortality?
So the study didn't really address those particular issues. What they did is they looked at things at the county level, and they compared men to women. And they looked to see whether or not mortality was changing, where that is, people dying and whether or not and when they died. And they really found that, particularly in rural America, that women were living less long lives. So they also didn't really break it down based upon race or ethnicity. And there's some problems, and actually the authors are quite good in talking about some of the concerns of their study. For instance, they talked about things at the county level. Now, if you look like a county like Washtenaw County that I live in, there's a great deal of variability between, you know, what is in the Ann Arbor area and what might be in Ypsilanti or other types of communities that may be within the same county. You could say the same thing for Genesee County, where you have Flint and you have other communities. So county-level data may not be where we want to be as we start to examine some of the underlying details of this particular study. We may want to be at the city level, or we may even want to go down to the zip code level to start sorting out some of the underlying determinants that influence these results.
The results of the study seem to open the door for a larger conversation about medical research on women's health specifically. I'm led to believe there's a long history of bias there. Is that correct, and can you give us a sense of that?
Well, there are concerns about how we do women's studies. Think about it. I mean, you know, women are not just their uterus and their ovaries, and we focus for many years just on the reproductive organs. If you look at the life expectancy of women, really aging is a women's health issue, right? So women tend to live 5 years longer than men, whether mm-hmm. you're black or you're white or you're Hispanic. So the challenge with this particular study is that it's showing that women are not living as quite as long. Now, about 20 years ago, the NIH put in place the Office for Research in Women's Health, because prior to that, it would be not uncommon for a study that may look at a new drug for heart disease and only use men. It might be common to do a study that would focus on the role of seatbelts and only do it in what we call the prototypical, the average man, which is 5'7" and about 170 pounds. Well, that doesn't take into account, you know, a woman across her lifespan. So, you know, a woman who might be 5'2" driving the same car, who may be 5'2" and pregnant, or 5'2" and 85 years of age. So that's how seatbelts were originally developed. So the Office of Research in Women's Health and a number of institutes and also the community sort of said, you know, wait a minute, we need to have work that is looking at us. at women and women across their lifespan. And that's particularly important if you think about where we are as far as the percentage of the population. So right now, the majority of the population is female, more women than men. And that number is expected to increase by 2030, where we expect this over 60% of the population to be women. So we need to be thinking really critically about women's health and where they are in their across their life course. So when I speak to that, I talk about, a young child. We talk about women taking care of children, and we also think about women taking care of their family units, which is sort of prototypical. But we also think about women who now may be grandmothers who are taking care of their grandchildren.
There seems to have been more discussion, more awareness, really, in very recently on women and heart health. What can you put that in some context for us?
So that's really important because we now know that sometimes women present very differently for heart disease than men. I think one of the most, so you've asked me a little bit about the history of women's health, and one of the studies that has always been a bit disturbing is this article by Shulman, where he took actors and he compared men and women who were actors, and they were across a variety. I mean, they were people of color and people not of color. And they asked physicians to make a decision as to how they treated these people coming in with chest pain and recognized these were actors. And so they presented with what we call the classic chest pain. It hurts here and it radiates, sort of hurts in the heart area and it radiates down the arm. That's very classic. And what was found is that physicians made very different decisions for this classic type of chest pain for men as opposed to women, where the women and with men getting the best quality care and women receiving lesser quality care, as well as racial and ethnic minorities. That's for the classic type of chest pain. Now, we also know that women may present very differently for their chest pain. So there's variability in what we call clinician decision-making, how doctors, how nurses make decisions about the care of women.
Given the not uncommon caretaker roles that women tend to adopt in life, later in life, often I have to assume that an earlier mortality could have really noticeable impact on the larger society. Am I correct?
Absolutely. So, we certainly are changing how we do business in the home. Men are certainly picking up more of their fair share. But clearly, women are more likely to be providing child care. They are more likely to be the ones who make the decisions about health care in our families, for men as well as for their children. We now know that more, and also, I think about the women who are sort of sandwiched, those people who have older parents, right? And you have to provide care for them. So they're getting sandwiched. And then there's the women who are grandmothers who are taking care of their grandchildren. So taking care of women is not just the right thing to do. We must do it because of the fact that it has such down river type of effects for the rest of society.
How exactly do we intervene to close this gap?
Well, I think we need to be thinking about, first of all, we need to get more data. And we have to have better research that is sort of looking at women across their lifespan. So, this study gets us starting to think about, maybe some of the things that we've been talking about, obesity, smoking, are starting to catch up with us. But it also says that we need to have more studies that really look at a multitude of different factors that influence the lives, the healthy lives of women. So how do doctors make decisions? How do patients have access to care? And if they have access to care, do they have good quality care? And can we expect the same outcomes for women as we do for men? And if so, then why aren't we getting them? And then, maybe the determinants that we use for you as opposed to me aren't the same. Maybe we need to be doing some things a little differently. So that's the healthcare component. But we also need to think about the environments that we live in. You know, secondhand smoke. Are there other types of factors that we need to be intervening in? You know, poverty. We now know that children are growing up in more poverty. So that means by, you know, you follow the math, that also affects women, because women are providing most of the care for children. So this is going to need to be sort of a team approach, multidisciplinary approach, to sort of get to the root of some of these causes. And that's some of the things that we're interested in really looking at the University of Michigan.
Where can you say that larger process really ought to start? Medical school? Where?
Well, you know, a novel concept would be actually to have it start actually in the undergraduate level, actually down in our high schools and our grade schools. You know, how do we get young women and men into the sciences? How do we prepare them well so we have that critical brain power? How do we start making people think about living healthier lives? You know, just because your environment is not the best doesn't mean that you cannot expect to be healthy in this society. So this is really a public health issue, is a public policy issue. Clearly, we need to be training doctors and nurses and all the health science professionals better.
Very good. Dr. Green, we've got to let it go there. I'm afraid we're out of time.
Okay.
Dr. Carmen Green of the University of Michigan, many thanks.
Have a great day.